Joey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing excellent. I want to get your thoughts. Montreal, it's been somewhat of a chaotic season from the coach stepping down. You have the quarterback and his receivers brawling a little bit. But the Alouettes are coming off their best victory of the season, 38-11 over the Argos. Rakeem Hato had four touchdown passes in that game. Have the quarterbacks and receivers kissed and made up?
I don't know if that's officially taken place. I know on the field they've kind of gotten back down to business. Actually, the Alouettes had their annual hospital visit at the local children's hospital here in Montreal yesterday, and I was privileged enough to go on the floors with a group of players, and Rakeem Cato and Daron Carter were together conversing like everything was fine. So it looks like they have buried the hatchet. If they had an official sit-down meeting to bury the hatchet, I'm not too sure, but it looks like in terms of business and working relationship, it looks like they're on the same page.
Yeah, Joey, it's interesting with all the drama that's come out of Montreal this year. They still are right in the thick of things. If get on a roll to end the season, they can still be a factor.
Yeah, they really can, and that's the beauty of the CFL. I mean, you're not really out of it until very late into the season. And right now, I'm sure they'd have to gun for second place in the East just because, you know, it looks like the crossover, whether it's Winnipeg or Edmonton, is going to be impossible to avoid that. But right now, I mean, 4 points behind Hamilton. They have already lost the season series to Hamilton, so they do have to finish ahead of Hamilton. But they have a game in hand. They're 4 points behind Hamilton, and they have one more meeting against the Tiger Cats left. So the end of season schedule is not going to be easy. They play Calgary twice, Edmonton once on Monday. Then they have to go to Hamilton. So it's not going to be easy on the Alouettes by any means. But if Jean-Chapdelaine has figured something out here with this offense and they can get on the same page, they're not out of it just yet. But out of the last six games, if you count last Sunday's win against Toronto, I thought the Alouettes had to go 5-1 minimum. Now they got the first one. So basically you can afford to drop one game of your last five. And I'm sure you want to save maybe, you know, they won't admit this, but they want to maybe save that one loss for in Calgary. So this game, again, Monday, it's going to be another must-win situation for the Alouettes.
So the Eskimos definitely can't overlook them. They'll come in the most rested they've been in 2 months. And they will go up against a defense that has surrendered right now the fewest points in the Canadian Football League at only 306. And now, granted, I know Calgary is better because they played one more game, but Montreal's defense has been pretty good.
Yeah, Montreal's defense has kind of, you know, taken off in the last 3 or 4 years. It's been the backbone of the team. You know, they do play a lot of Americans. They really only start one Canadian on that defense, so they should be great, and they are. But they do tend to bend, not break. But I have to say, against Toronto on Sunday, I mean, all facets of the game were great. But defensively, they didn't give up a touchdown to the Argos. So it's one of those units that does get a ton of pressure usually on the quarterback. I know Drew Willey finished the game probably pretty clean by Alouettes' defensive standards. But that is definitely the backbone of this team. And I think one area that gets overlooked, yeah, the front seven is great. But during training camp, the Alouettes overhauled this secondary. And they cut Mitchell White, who's been a starter for the last couple of years. They cut Dominique Ellis, who was a starter last year. And they've basically filled those gaps with rookies. And Ethan Davis, who has actually been benched the last couple of weeks, he's had an up-and-down rookie year. But Greg Henderson has come in and done really, really well. Jonathan Mincy's done very well. And Ramon Taylor is another rookie who's done very well. So that's kind of the aspect of the defense that flies under the radar that people don't really talk about. But the young secondary has been very good this season.
Joey, still with that defense, excellent as we've mentioned. But when you're looking at the Eskimos, you're looking at Mike Riley, Darius Bowman, and Darrell Walker, and the running game's picked up. They seem to be back in that groove they were on after a little bit of a sputter. So if you're drawing it up for that Montreal defense, what are you trying to get done against the Eskimos?
Yeah, I mean, look, I could easily say take away those two receivers, but I mean, that's easier said than done. Nobody can take away Walker and Bowman completely. I think the key is really not giving Mike Riley time, and I know sometimes that's scary because Mike Riley can get rid of the ball quickly, but I do think that if you give him all kinds of time back there, like they kind of did against Toronto. Fortunately for the Alouettes, Drew Willey wasn't able to take advantage of it. But if they fail to get to Mike Riley's elite, and Mike Riley's going to pick the Alouettes defense apart, and as good as the secondary might be this year, you can't ask them to cover Walker and Bowman for, 3 or 4 seconds even. So I think that's the one thing they've got to do. And obviously, if you can take away the running game, something that Montreal's done has been fairly inconsistent at. They've been okay the last couple of weeks. But if they can take away the run and force Edmonton into some obvious passing situations, I do think that'll help them as well. But I think the number one thing is I think they have to get after Mike Riley.
Well, yeah, they're going to have to get some pressure on. The Eskimos' offensive line has been pretty steady, not dominant, but fairly steady, Joey. What about the offensive line in Montreal? Because for many years, when Anthony Calvillo was, setting passing records every year, it seemed, the offensive line always had 3, sometimes 4 guys who were all-stars. And once that drops off, it's tough for any quarterback. And I know everybody's focused so much on, they haven't had a quarterback since Calvillo. Well, of course not. The guy's the best quarterback maybe we've ever seen in the CFL. But the offensive line, the drop from afar seems significant. Is it that much of a drop-off? And are they slowly getting better there, or is that still an area of concern?
There's no doubt. I think it has to be an area of concern. And I think it starts, unfortunately, with the tackles. And Jeff Parrott has been an elite tackle in the CFL for me. Over the last few years, before he was nominated for Outstanding Lineman in the East, I think he was the most underrated player in the CFL. And you look at what he's done this year, and it's been a little rougher for Jeff. I know that he lost some friends over the last couple of years. He was really close with Ryan Bauman, who's been traded to Hamilton a couple of years ago. Josh Burke walked in free agency. And it's been tough for Jeff Parrott. And that was kind of the one guy, when there was so much change on the line this winter, that was the one guy that people were expecting to be steady Eddie there, and it's been up and down. It's been very up and down. Obviously, Josh Burke, who had been in Montreal since 2007 as the Alouettes' left tackle, he walked in free agency. He went to Toronto. They replaced him with a 2015 first-round pick, Jacob Ruby. Jacob Ruby is big. He's good feet, but unfortunately, it just hasn't translated well to the pro game right now. That's one area for me. You look at the left tackle spot, and that's where Montreal is really, really suspect. He's gotten better as the season has gone on, but as of right now, it's not good enough. It's not good enough for, to keep the quarterback off the turf as often as they'd like. And in terms of the running game as well, you see the Alouettes run between the tackles quite a bit, but, bouncing outside on the left-hand side has been a little bit problematic. When you look at the inside, at the guards, Philip Blake, the guy who was a Canadian kid drafted by Denver a few years ago, made his way to the CFL. He's kind of struggled as well. He's been up and down. Philip Gagnon was the second overall pick in the 2016 draft. He's out of Laval. He's a guy who's also been up and down, playing, being a starter first year out of CIS football, never easy. And Christian Matt, who's been the left guard for quite some time for the Alouettes now, has been forced to move to center because of the off-season surgery that Luc Brodeur-Jourdain had. So it's really been musical chairs there. They are slightly better, but in my eyes, they're still not good enough.
Joey Alfieri from TSN 690 joins us. Joey, what about the head coaching situation? Chapdelaine's the interim guy. If they have this great run, does he take over as the full-time guy in the off-season? What do you think happens? How does the head coaching job unfold?
I would think so. Look, just to give you an idea of how serious people are about the Alouettes football and Jacques Chapdelaine, the Alouettes hadn't had more than, I believe, 22,000 or 21,000 and change people in the stands for any game. And Jacques Chapdelaine's first game, he's the first French-Canadian coach in Alouettes history, and they sold out the stadium on Sunday. So people are serious about it, and if Jacques Chapdelaine wins and he does well, even if the Alouettes don't make the playoffs, because it's a tall order, let's be honest, the situation he's been put in is a bit difficult. But if Jacques Chapdelaine does really, really well between now and the end of the season, it's going to be really hard for the Alouettes to go in a different direction. Just public outcry will make it extremely difficult here. So I think they're fully committed to him. I think they're fully ready to give him this opportunity, this audition tape over these last 6 games of the season. And if he does well, I was skeptical, to be honest. I didn't think that they'd keep him. Just that was my gut feeling going into last week's game. But listen, there's no denying they did really, really well. But it is just one game. I do think if he does well, you're talking about 4-2, 5-1 over the last, you know, six games of the season, I think there's a good chance that they might stick with them.
Joey, as always, we appreciate your time. Enjoy the long weekend and the Thanksgiving Day Monday game.
Absolutely. I'll be between the benches, guys. So if you want to link up next week, just let me know.
You betcha.